able to be here with you this morning. It is truly a wonderful privilege to be able to be back at church again and inside of and seeing all of these new faces. For me, I'm just so very thankful for your friendliness toward us so far. It's meant such a wonderful blessing to us. And I hope that so far the fathers in the room have had a wonderful Father's Day. And, you know, it's a wonderful time of year to celebrate family, especially after you after we've all just have gone through the pandemic of the century. It's always good to be reminded of where priorities are, and that's in the family and the family's health, both physically and spiritually. And so it's a very good time of year to always remember how much mothers have done and how much fathers do. And so we're very thankful for this time of year as well. Now, when you look at your Bible, you have a lot of things that are new. And, you know, I think most in here would really like to have something new every once in a while. You know, maybe go out, maybe buy a new car. It may not be a brand new, but, you know, newer than what you have. Or you may want to go out and have a new house or new clothes or new shoes or a new haircut. We all appreciate new things, and new isn't always evil. New can also be very refreshing. And so when you think about this newness, you think about the newness of life that Christians enjoy, according to Romans 6:1-4, that's a truly refreshing life. It's a life that is being, as we see in 2 Corinthians 4, renewed every day. And so when you think about this newness of life, there are some things in the life that you and I both enjoy that are truly, truly new. Now I want us this morning to go and look at the book of Lamentations, chapter 3. And so if you have a copy of the Bible in front of you, hopefully you do, go ahead and turn to Lamentations 3, and we'll be by there in a moment. Now, when you think about the book of Lamentations, you know, there's a lot of wonderful things about the book, but one of the main aspects of the book of Lamentations is you hear the word lament inside of the root word there, and so this is a crying over. This is a funeral procession that Jeremiah is offering on behalf of Israel and Judah. And he's saying, I am weeping over this. I'm weeping over their unbelief. I'm weeping over the coming destruction that they are about to be engulfed in because of just how they have chose to carry out their lives. And when you think about Lamentations 3 as well, I want us to look at very briefly this whole aspect here of new every morning. Now, you know, when you think about the prophet Jeremiah, and you think about how can Jeremiah mention anything new? You know, he was one that was crying over seeing the rubble of Israel. He was one that was crying over Israel's destruction. He was one that was crying over the past sins of Israel. And yet, in Lamentations 3 then, and we begin in verse number 22, and you'll see a very popular verse here in a moment. It says, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. And so in spite of all that's going on, the Lord's mercy is still everlasting. In spite of all that's going on, then we notice that the Lord's mercies are not finished. How can you say that, Jeremiah, when you look at what's going on around you, and you look at the destruction and the falling of a great nation of God, and yet you say the Lord's mercies are not consumed? Does this mean then that it was in God's mercy for the nation of Israel to be destroyed? Why would he say that they're not consumed? Well, he's talking about here in the next phrase, because his compassions, they fail not. Now, when you look at what is really being picked up on here, is that when you think about the beautiful aspect of God's faithfulness, is that sometimes we view all about God from a standpoint of He is nothing more than an out of area boss that you don't actually have to see or hear anything from. He's just there, and He wills His commandments. We got to do it, but we don't actually ever get to really enjoy the goodness because of all of the evil in the world. And so sometimes people will look at this section and they'll say it from that standpoint. And they'll say, see, look, you know, God's, he's just choosing right here to destroy Israel. But yeah, look at the verse again. His mercies and His compassions, they fail not. And so when we think about putting God in a box, and we think about how our mentality dealing with Him may not always be accurate, you think back in Ezekiel 33, where the Bible says that they say, in dealing with affliction and dealing with what's evil, and they say it's God's fault. And then God says, well, Ezekiel says for God, he asks a question. He says, have they not looked at the Lord? In Romans 2, verse number 4, we know that God allows the good things to happen to bad people sometimes. And the idea is that that is to show His forbearance for that person. In Hebrews 12, you think about the discipline of God, and you look down at that chapter, there are several instances there where the writer of Hebrews will point out that when there is affliction, it is a teachable moment in the sight of God for the Christian. Affliction is not meant to hinder us from faith, but is meant to help us toward fortifying our faith. When you and I are going through times of trial and trouble, and we are being tried by fire, and that's the symbolic sense there, that Peter's using that in a physical sense, but I'm using it in a symbolic sense. 1 Peter 1, how it says that the trying of your faith produces faith. Trying of fire produces faith. And so when you think about this affliction, these trials, is to allow us to be purified in our faith as you would purify gold and other fine metals. And so when you look at Lamentations 3 then, we begin to pick up on this very aspect that the goodness of God is what has allowed evil to come upon this nation at this point in time. Now, how can you say that? Because the idea is I want you to turn back to me. Just like a father would hopefully try to discipline their kids to let them turn back to the Lord. You think about Proverbs 22 and 23 and those chapters there dealing with father's instruction and a father's discipline. And so you look down then, and how he's hoping that something will finally make them realize I have hit rock bottom, and they'll have the epiphany that the lost son did, the prodigal son. Luke 15 says, I have sinned against you and before God of heaven. Hopefully Jeremiah's hoping that they'll have that same mentality, that if things get really bad, they will click, and then they'll be back toward their faith in God. And so this is a section all dealing with, hopefully these individuals will want to be back there with God again. Now when you look down at what's going on here again, it's more of a kind of background, I suppose, is that this is a wonderful section dealing with mercy, compassion, and truth. And notice in verse 23, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verse number 3, If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. When we look at having hope in God, you know, it's a wonderful thing to have that hope, that earnest expectation in God. When you have hope in God, you know that he will always do right and do just, and he is. Romans 3, 23 and 24 and 25 say God is just. We look back at all that God has done in 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4, where the Bible says he is a God of all comfort. He is one that will comfort those who are also afflicted, that we may, as those who are afflicted, comfort somebody else. Well, where do we learn that from? We learn that from the God of hope. You can't comfort somebody if there's no hope in the room. We have to learn how to develop and harness our hope in heaven, to be able to realize that God is truly the most important thing in our lives, most important person in our lives. Now, this little word new in Lamentations 3:23, it's a Hebrew word, and the word is kabod or kavod, and it means restored. And so quite literally, these mercies and this compassions, which are inexhaustible, are restored every morning. Every day, it would seem, would be a new day with God, dealing with his compassion, dealing with his pity. And that's a wonderful thing, that you can never run out of God's mercy. In Acts 17, 27 and 28, it says that God is not far from any one of us. And all that we do and everything around us, he's there. And so we have this wonderful blessing then, that he is restoring himself to us as those who need it the most. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And so when you think then about Lamentations 3:24, the next section here, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him. The word portion here is dealing with an already acquired land or territory. The Lord is where my strength and refuge stands, therefore I hope in him. And so when we think about this newness of life, the newness that you and I enjoy, it's all about God's mercy and compassions that are restored to us every morning. And so that makes us want to do better. It empowers us to want to be motivated to live more faithfully for God tomorrow than what we did today. Can you imagine if God ever said, I'm going to give up on you? Now, he does, but it's done by our choice. If we strive to live in sin and we strive to put him away forever and ever and ever, God's not giving up on us. We're doing it to him. And eventually, when it comes to the day of judgment, God will finally say, because of how disobedient and unfaithful and unbelieving you were, you will not get to enjoy the splendor of heaven. But he gave us a choice to live all the way to that point. He gave us a choice that we can enjoy being with him instead of being against him. And these things are new. These are restored every morning. This is all about a wonderful banner of Christianity, how it is a religion of second chances and a second mile and a second birth and all those seconds that we enjoy. And so we think about the second chances here. You know, only thing that could have stopped the Apostle Paul, or at the time the persecutor Saul, in his steps from persecuting the church, in Acts 8:1, how it says that he was wreaking havoc upon the church, taking into bondage both men and women to Jerusalem. Only thing that could stop such a violent man in his tracks, according to 1 Timothy 1:15 and 16, was the mercy of God. That's the one thing that could stop anyone who's living a vile life, is the mercy of God. He says, I have obtained mercy, yet I was before a blasphemer, I was injurious, I was a persecutor of the church, yet I have obtained mercy. And then Ephesians 3 says, I am the chief of sinners. And that's the idea that he is a foremost of sinners. Now, he wasn't, but that's how he felt. But that shows us that Christianity is the second chance that you and I get to enjoy because of putting our hope in God. He is my portion, says my soul. It's already there for us. We just have to go out there and get it. So many refuse to go toward the beauty of heaven because of perhaps selfish ambition, perhaps from sinful living. That's why I want to give it up. Could be from other things that have just really ruined us. And it could be quite frankly because we don't care anymore. Those things will stop us in our tracks from enjoying the portion that God's given us, from that already acquired land that God's promised us. You think about John 14, 1-3. And how Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Well, why would he say that? Because we already have a wonderful inheritance. According to 1 Peter 1, verses 4 and 5, which does not fade away, reserved in heaven for us. Who are those? Who's us? In 1 Peter 1, 4 and 5, it says, those who are kept by the power of God, or by the word of God. That's right. And so it's a beautiful blessing to be a Christian. It's a beautiful blessing to be faithful until death. Revelation 2, verse number 10. It's a beautiful blessing to know that God, in spite of what's going on around us, has stayed true to us. But we sometimes don't do that toward Him. You know, when you were dating and you couldn't keep away from your spouse, and then you get married, it's only a matter of a few days or a few weeks, and now there's that distance between you, you know? How did that get there? Well, somebody must have moved, right? Well, you know, when you think about how close we are toward God, when you and I became a Christian, and then after so much of life has gone under the bridge, and how many times you and I have had to endure hardship, and we've doubted, and then we figure out, I've moved away. How do you know you moved? Because you got a landmark. In Hebrews 12, 2, it says, looking, or literally means fixing your gaze upon Jesus. He's your landmark. How do you know if you're drifting? You got to have a landmark to know where you're going. You know, and sometimes we can't just allow life to happen to us. We have to also approach life with attitude as a Christian. Now, when you think back at our text here, now there is always hope in God. You think about Jesus at the end of his earthly ministry and how he had just endured the most horrendous and dishonest and twisted trial that he could have ever endured. I mean, it was so bad that he even had to do it at nighttime to avoid being caught by others. He was mocked and spat upon. Blood and sweat were dripping from his body. Injustice was all around him. And on top of all of the overwhelming amount of shame, it was the darkest day in the history of the world. The day that Christ died. But being hope in the flesh, Jesus foresaw the better day on the horizon. Yet in the midst of the empty tomb, Jesus left a folded handkerchief, which in the Jewish world means I'm coming back. Don't push away my plate of that good food. I'm coming back. The idea here is the handkerchief means I'm going to come back to life. And so when they saw that, that's what they thought about immediately. He's coming back. What a wonderful hope that is. And so even in our darkest times, there's still the empty tomb to prove that Jesus Christ is alive, that He is still our advocate with the Father. 1 John 2:1. Now, when you look at John 20, verses 7 through 9, about the handkerchief and how they got excited. He is coming back. What a wonderful thing to be excited about serving a risen Savior. What a wonderful thing it is to be able to know that you and I are living in the gospel of hope, the good news of hope. And we're doing that toward all people because He is indeed risen. Are you enjoying God's mercies and compassions? Or have we been like Peter? You think about Matthew 14 when Peter and the other apostles were out in that ship at nighttime and then that storm arose and Christ saw it from the mountainside and He went over to them. And Peter saw Jesus and he said, "Lord, bid me to come on and walk on the water to you." And Christ said, "Come." And so he got out. And remember what happened? In Matthew 14:30, it says that he saw the winds boisterous. He saw the waves, perhaps with the white claps there. And began to sink. And then Matthew 14:31, which is a wonderful verse in Scripture for dealing with darkness, I think. It says that Jesus stretched out His hand and called Him. Remember what He said? "Oh, ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Why were you doubting in the midst of the darkness when you have hope right in front of you? So let's all be sure that our hope is on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. Hopefully this morning we are enjoying God's mercy and compassion being restored to us every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. This morning, if you're not a Christian, the Bible says you must hear the word of God. Romans 10:17. Believe that Christ is God's Son. Likewise ye perish. John 8:24. Likewise you die in your sins. This morning, perhaps, if you have had faith, you need to repent. Get out of sin, get into the light. Luke 13:3-5. And then we need to confess that Christ is God's Son. Romans 10:9-10, and be baptized, going down to the watery grave of baptism, that when you arise by the very power of God, you walk in that newness of life. Romans 6:1-4. What a wonderful blessing it is to be a Christian. This morning,